Brian Levine, welcome back.
Glad to be back again.
It's a fun week with you talking about Glenn Gould.
I'm enjoying it. I hope your listeners are finding it interesting.
Oh, how can they not? He's so fascinating. Yesterday, we talked about his astonishing career as a live performer, which he cut short. Tell us what happened there.
Well, I think this is one of those situations where the historical moment met the personal predisposition. Historically, you know, recording was becoming good enough in terms of its fidelity and its ability to manipulate the recording, to edit and so on, that it provided a viable route to artistic expression, but also Gould's own feeling of dissatisfaction with the concert experience. I think that he found it challenging to be away and on the road. He was very much a creature of habit, so staying, you know, in a different city every night. But also he felt that, and came to feel that, the performance to a live audience was compromising what he was trying to achieve musically, that to achieve a kind of intense intimacy to the front row would mean that people in the back row would be missing something. So he would have to exaggerate his gestures so that it would project all the way, and that there was a kind of a loss of the communion that he was after. And ultimately, he began canceling. He began developing, let's say, psychosomatic reasons for not performing. And ultimately, at that fateful April 1964 concert at the Wilshire Able Theater, he walked away from it and never came back. He went to what he described as a higher calling technology, because he had discovered in the studio and through radio that the ability to work in solitude, which he valued highly, the ability to communicate to that one little microphone in front of you as the kind of idealized surrogate for the audience, allowed him to have that level of intimacy and power that didn't involve compromises. And also it gave him what he called take-two-ness, the ability to create the ideal performance, almost the platonic form or ideal of the performance that he imagined in his mind, and realize that on tape in a way that it would be as though he was playing that directly to you in your home in a one-to-one ratio that was, for him, perfection.
We're going to listen to him play some Bach. They probably did in Fugue No. 3 in C-sharp from the Well-Tempered Clavier. What's in this one, Brian?
Perfection. It's an incredibly virtuosic piece, and you hear these lines of counterpoint delineated perfectly. You can hear them in absolute isolation. There isn't a note out of place. The rhythm is bracing, and it is basically, I would say, joie de vivre personified.